And we're going to be looking to the Lord for Him to share something with each of us tonight. I'll just kind of stumble through the message here and hope you guys pick up something, okay? Let's have a word of prayer before we start. Father, I just give You praise. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for the songs that we were able to sing, Lord, that spoke of Your majesty and Your greatness and Your goodness and the awesomeness of You. You're a holy God, and You're worthy of our praise, Lord. But Lord, our praise itself, coming from our own lips, are not worthy enough, Lord, for You to be glorified by it. We thank You, Lord, for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that has made our praise and our prayers and our offerings, Lord, acceptable before Your sight, pleasing and sweet-smelling unto You. I thank You for that, Lord. Thank You, Lord, today, Lord, as we partake of Your Word, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that You would anoint this, that You would speak by Your Holy Spirit through this Word, Lord, and that each of us, including myself, Lord, would receive abundantly from You. I thank You for Your grace, Father God. I thank You for Your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody would turn to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 10. It's going to be your third book in the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. If you find the beginning of the Bible, you can go three books over and you'll find the Leviticus. We'll probably look at a few passages, a few portions of scriptures, but I want to start here. It's a really, really strange story. Really strange happening. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1. I'm going to start reading here. Now, probably it's pronounced Nadab, but we say Nadab. And Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, or censers, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He had not commanded them. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "It is what the Lord spoke, saying, 'By those who come near me, I will be treated as holy, and before all the people, I will be honored.'" Kind of a horrible story, isn't it? These two guys all of a sudden get fire comes and devours them. They're consumed. They're killed. Let me give you the setting for this, what's happening here. Moses has led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they're in the Sinai desert. They're right near Mount Sinai. And Moses had gone up on the mountain, received for 40 days and 40 nights twice. This is after the second time, I believe. He's received the commandments, and he received a pattern for how the tabernacle was supposed to be made. All the things, all the type of materials that were supposed to be used, and all that he just received all that, and he's got these people. I mean, the people had donated and given all the materials that were needed for the tabernacle and the priestly clothing, and they had real skillful, what would you call them, craftsmen that went and made all these things. And this is at the inauguration, that's the best word to use, of the tabernacle. And the Aaronic priesthood. This is where Aaron is appointed as the high priest, anointed as the high priest, and his sons as priests and their descendants from that point on. And Aaron had four sons. And these two, for some reason, decided to do something that God didn't like and ended up getting killed in the tabernacle. And you start wondering, well, what did they do? What is it? What did they do wrong? You kind of have to question that, don't you? What did they do wrong? What is this strange fire that is being spoken of here? They offered strange fire. Why did they get killed? Why did God do that to them? Well, There's several places in Scripture where God brought sudden judgment on people for doing something that he had not commanded or some other thing like that. We don't want to get into that, but I want to get back to what the censers or the fire pan is all about, and how it was supposed to be used, and the meaning of this incense and fire and all that. I want to go through that first, and then we'll go back to what they did wrong, and then try to bring it kind of in a practical way to us. Okay? That's what I'd like to do. If you'll turn to Leviticus chapter 16, you'll see where the proper use of the fire pan or the censer. Some translations use the word censer, C-E-N-S-E-R, and some of them use fire pan. It was just some kind of a little bowl-looking thing. Sorry, I tried to keep my mic near my mouth here. A bowl-like thing, and they probably had some kind of a chain or something to hold it. And they'd put fire coals on it of some sort, and then they'd put incense on it. Okay, that's what this is. And you see it in certain religions, or even in Catholicism, you see it quite frequent. You know, they have this thing where the priest goes along with his smoke coming out of this little doohickey that he carries around, you know, and that's a censer. Okay, there's various forms and shapes. The best that we can gather what this is what they used in the Old Testament was a bowl-shaped thing. I don't know how big, didn't really say. In fact, there's not much spoken about censers in the Bible. There's only 10 verses that talk about censers in the Bible. Only 10. It's mentioned 10 times. And three of the stories, the people who used it, things went very ill with them. One of them is Abab and Nadab and Nadab and Abihu, or however you pronounce their names. One of them is this story. Another one we'll look at a little later is 250 men get consumed by God again. And they had censers in their hand. And one more time, King Uzziah, much, much later on, he's in the temple, and he's holding a censer, and he becomes leprous. Three stories. And things go ill with them. And the only other place, besides a couple other places, one other place, the fourth place, it's just talking about these guys that were in idolatrous worship. So, you know, it doesn't really speak of good things, you know, for people who are holding censers, if you know what I mean. You know, doesn't go well with these people, you know. I wonder if they're supposed to be holding these things, you know. You may start wondering what they're supposed to be doing, right? Anyway, if you look at Leviticus chapter 16, God gives instructions on how it's supposed to be used, and why, and what purpose. It says in verse 11, "Then Aaron shall offer the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his household. And he shall slaughter the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a fire pan full of coals of fire from upon the altar before the Lord, and two handfuls of finely ground sweet incense, and bring it inside the veil. And he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the ark of the testimony, lest he die." This God gives instructions what Aaron is supposed to do with a fire pan or a censer. I'm going to use the word censer. I like it better than fire pan. Fire pan just sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? Anyway, most Bible scholars that I've read up on say the censer had to be made of gold. And this is important. Later on, you'll understand why. It had to be made of gold. And it had to use this specific incense, which was from the altar of incense, which we're going to be talking about, had to come from the altar of incense. And the fire for the censer had to come from the altar of incense. If you look at verse 12, it talks about, "He shall take a fire pan full of coals of fire from upon the altar that's before the Lord." This is the altar of incense. "And two handfuls of finely ground sweet incense, and bring it inside the veil." So those three things had to occur. And who was it that's supposed to use it? Aaron. and his descendants. If you hold your place here and go to Numbers chapter 16, this is the next book over in Numbers, chapter 16, verse 39 and 40, you see what it says about people holding censers. So Eleazar the priest took the bronze censers, which the men who were burnt had offered, and they hammered them out as a plating for the altar, as a reminder to the sons of Aaron that no layman who is not of the descendants of Aaron should come near to burn incense before the Lord, that he might not become like Korah and company, just as the Lord had spoken to him through Moses. Yeah, I did give you the right passage, right? Only Aaron and his descendants were to use the censer. So we find out who, and we find out how or what. Now I want to get into this altar of incense because it's closely associated. I mean, the fire comes from the altar of incense. The incense comes from the altar of incense. So there's some association there. So we need to kind of connect it here so that we can get an idea of what this whole thing means. If you'll turn to Exodus chapter 30, I'm just kind of giving you a little background here, laying the ground here. And keep yourself in Leviticus, also some kept there for a while. Exodus chapter 30, starting with verse 1 through 10. I'm going to read where it talks about what this altar is going to be made of. Moreover, you shall make an altar as a place for burning incense. You shall make it of acacia wood. I have no idea what that wood is like, but maybe somebody here can explain it later on. Its length shall be a cubit, which is about a foot and a half, I believe, and its width a cubit. It shall be square, and its height shall be 2 cubits, about 3 feet. Its horn shall be of one piece with it. So, anyway. And you shall overlay it with pure gold. Its top, its sides all around, its horns, and you shall make a gold molding all around for it. And you shall make 2 gold rings for it under its molding. You shall make for them on its 2 sides walls on opposing sides, and they shall be holders for poles which to carry it. Excuse me. You shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. And you shall put this altar in front of the veil that is near the Ark of the Testimony, in front of the mercy seat that is over the Ark of the Testimony, where I will meet with you. If you remember in the tabernacle, you have the holy place, and then you have the Holy of Holies, and there was a thick veil that separated that. And the high priest was the only one once a year that could enter into the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Testimony, and it had this sort of a throne-looking thing. I think they had angels at that time, too. Of course, later on, during Solomon's temple, they became more spectacular with the big angels and all that. But that was representative of God's throne, the mercy seat. Okay, and he said, you will have this, you have to place this altar of incense before the veil that is right before the Holy of Holies, so it's always before the Lord. Okay? You get the idea here? You get the kind of image, picture? And Aaron shall burn fragrant incense on it. He shall burn it every morning when he trims the lamps, and when Aaron trims the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense. There shall be perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. And you shall not offer any strange incense on this altar, or burnt offering, or meal offering. And you shall not pour out a libation on it. They'd take either blood or wine and pour it to the side of the altar. It says, don't do that. And Aaron shall make atonement on its horns once a year. He shall make atonement on it with the blood of the sin offering of atonement once a year throughout your generations. It is most holy to the Lord. So, this it's made of wood, but the important part about it is that it's overlaid with pure gold. I mean, it's completely covered with pure gold. This is important. What does gold signify in the scriptures? Purity? Genuineness? 1 Peter 1:17 talks about our faith as though tried you know, going through these trials as though gold tried by fire. Let me just read it to you. I'll just read it real quickly. It says, 1 Peter 1:7. The proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Faith is associated with gold, okay? This altar is made of pure gold. But it also signifies the purity of Christ. Remember, he was crucified on the cross. He was laid in the ground. But it says that death couldn't hold him. You will not let your chosen one see corruption, it says. Remember, the fire of God could not consume him. The judgment of God could not destroy Jesus. He was pure and perfect. Isn't that right? Sin was consumed, but he wasn't, right? So it signifies faith, signifies the purity of Christ. These two things kind of go together with the gold part of it. The fire is the fire of God. It's God's fire. Do you remember in Hebrews it talks about God being a consuming fire? Hebrews chapter 12. Says that God is a consuming fire. But just prior to that, it talks about God is going to shake the heavens one more time, and all the things that will be that can be shaken will be shaken away, and only that which remains will remain. You see? And then it talks about God being a consuming fire. Let me just read that real quick. Hebrews chapter 12, it's in verse 26 to 29. Says, and his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. And this expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as a created things, in order that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. All right? God's judgment. It's talking about God's judgment. God's fire. On the altar of burnt offerings, which they had outside of the holy place where they offered all the sacrifices, that fire consumed the sin. Okay? The animals were offered up on it, and it consumed it. It just burnt it up. But on this altar of incense, there's gold. And it was a fragrance, a sweet savor coming up to God. It was a sweet, sweet, sweet smell coming up to God all the time. Okay? It's a pure. This fire would purify. God's fire devours sin, but in that person that's holy, in that person that has faith, it purifies them. It couldn't consume Jesus. Why? Because he was pure. Amen? Just kind of laying some groundwork here. All right? The fire. Gold never burns. It just gets purified in Christ and his body. Never burns up, just gets purified. Fire of God. And then this incense, I'm just going to, Exodus chapter 30, in verse 34 to 38, talks about how it's to be made. Then the Lord said to Moses, you can just put it up there, Faith. Take for yourselves spices, tact, onycha, I don't know, I have no idea what these spices are, and galbanum, spices with pure frankincense. There shall be an equal part for each. And with it you shall make incense, a perfume, the work of a perfumer, salted, pure, and holy. And you shall beat some of it very fine, and put part of it before the testimony in the tent of meeting, where I shall meet with you. And it shall be most holy to you. And the incense which you shall make, you shall not make in the same proportions for yourselves. It shall be holy to you for the Lord. Whoever shall make any like it to use as perfume shall be cut off from his people. It was a special incense. No other person could use it. It was specific to be offered up to God. It was a special incense. was instructed in Exodus chapter 30, verse 7 and 8, to only use this incense. And Aaron shall burn fragrant incense on it, and shall burn it every morning as he trims the lamps, and he shall burn, and when he trims the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense. There shall be perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall not offer any strange incense on the altar. No other kind of incense could be used. This was the incense that was supposed to be used. And nobody else, for any other purpose, could use that incense. It was a special incense that was to be offered up to the Lord. And, as we read in 7 and 8, it was to be offered up in the morning. And I'm sure it just went throughout the whole day. And then it was to be re-offered up at nighttime, in the evening. There's two sacrifices that were offered. They had the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice. And then they would trim the lamps and, you know, relight the lamps. And the lamps with seven, the golden lampstand, you know, the little lamps that were there. That fire was never to go out. Neither was the fire of the altar of incense ever to go out. Neither was the fire of the altar of burnt sacrifices to ever go out. It was to burn all the time. Did you know that? Hell burns all the time. Amen. God's fire, God's judgment on sin never stops. It will never stop. It's forever. Anyway, getting off track here. They were to burn incense morning and night, morning and night. And that incense would go out throughout the day and throughout the night. So there would be incense going up before the Lord always, constantly. It never stops, never ends, perpetual. In the Bible, incense being offered up before the Lord and prayer is connected. Did you know that? Incense and prayer are connected. Psalms chapter 141, verse 2. If Faith would just put it up there, so we'll just look at it. I'm going to cheat here too. May my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening offering. May my prayer be counted as incense. What was it? There's something special about this incense. Do you remember? It's very, very sweet smelling, and it's good smelling incense. Always a wonderful smell before the Lord. Okay, God is just a wonderful fragrance. May my prayer be like that. In Luke chapter 1, you don't have to go to it necessarily, but it's the story of when the angel came to Zacharias, John the Baptist's father. Do you remember that? Let me turn to it so I can just pick up a few places, but if I can get my hands around here. Excuse me. Zacharias was one of Aaron's descendants. He was of the priesthood, and it was his turn that time to go into the temple, and he and his, I guess they had a rotation going, and he was among the rotation, and it was his turn to offer the incense. And it talks about him going into the, look in verse 9 and 10, talks about him going in and offering, and according to the custom of priestly office, he was chosen by lot. This is Luke 1, chapter 9 and 10, verse 9 and 10. He was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. So as he was offering incense, prayer was being lifted up. Prayer and incense is connected there. One more place, Revelation chapter 8. This is another place where a censer is mentioned. This place, things go well for the one holding it, but not for the earth. Revelation chapter 8, verse 3. If I can get my Bible to turn to it. And another angel came and stood at the altar, holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him, that he might add to it the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before the Lord out of the angel's hands. You see the connection there? Incense. Perpetual. Always going up. Always rising before the Lord. Prayer. Always going up. always rising before the Lord. Incense and prayer. And you see it even in pagan religions. When people go to say their prayers to their gods, they light a little stick of incense. I don't know why it's stuck in their minds that way. But even in pagan religions, incense and prayer is connected. Just kind of throwing that out there too. But anyway, incense and prayer. Praying, lifting up our requests to the Lord, lifting up our praise to the Lord, lifting up our worship to the Lord as it rises up with incense. Why did we need the incense? Why did it have to happen? Why did they have to put incense while they're praying before the Lord? You ever thought about that? Incense. It speaks of intercession. The incense rising up speaks of intercession. I'm going to tie a place in Romans actually together with that in a second. But anyway, in Numbers chapter 16, which is the other place that things went horrible for the people who were holding the censers, there's a story of four guys: Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and On. And then 250 guys joined with them in rebellion against Moses. They started getting this attitude, just like, well, all of God's people are holy. All of God's people are holy. So why is Aaron the one that gets to go in that tabernacle and do his thing all the time? You know? All of God's people are holy. How come we can't? Why would you guys are just getting a monopoly on this thing, you know? And they're getting all rebellious and getting this attitude with Moses. And so Moses says, okay, look, every one of you, get yourself a censer, put some coal on it, or fire on it, put some incense on it, and come before the Lord. And we'll see who God chooses. Tomorrow God will speak. So the 250 guys, they go and they approach. You know, they come before the tabernacle with their censers. And Korah and Dathan and Abiram, however you pronounce his name, and On, they decide, no, we ain't going to go. We're not going to do it your way, you know. And God says, get the people away from them, because I'm about to do something. And Moses says, if the ground swallows these guys up, let it be known that God has not chosen them, and the ground swallows them up. And then soon after the ground opens up and swallows these guys up and their family and their goats and their sheep and everything else, I mean, they just opened up and swallowed them up, then a fire comes out of the tabernacle upon those 250 guys that were holding the censers. Remember, it just doesn't go well with people that aren't supposed to be holding those things. And they're destroyed. They're burnt up. All that's left is their censers. Oh, my goodness. Well, and they, you know, Moses tells Eleazar, one of Aaron's sons, I believe, to beat these things into plates and, you know, set them up as a reminder that only Aaron and his sons are supposed to be, and his descendants are supposed to be, you know, holding these censers and all that kind of stuff. Well, the next day, the other Israelites come out. He says, Moses, you've killed all these people. You're murderers. And God spoke to Moses and Aaron and all them. He says, get away from these people. Get away from them, because I'm about to unload on them. I'm going to consume them. I'm going to destroy every one of them. They got me angry. And Moses and Aaron are getting on their face before God. No, God, please. And I'm going to pick up from there in verse 44 of chapter 16 of Numbers. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, get away from among the congregation, that I may consume them instantly. Then they fell on their faces. And Moses said to Aaron, take your censer and put it in fire from the altar, and lay incense on it. Then bring it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them, for the wrath has gone forth from the Lord. The plague has begun. Then Aaron took it as Moses had spoken and ran to the midst of the assembly, for behold, the plague had begun among the people. So he put on the incense and made atonement for the people. And he took his stand between the dead and the living, so that the plague was checked. He stood in the gap. You know what an intercession is? Standing in the gap with this incense on a censer. Intercession. Standing in the gap. As the incense goes up, it's a prayer unto God. Have mercy on your people. Have mercy on these people. And as the prayer and the sweet fragrance is going up, the sin of the people is clouded from God, so to speak. God stops. There is somebody that is constantly interceding on our behalf, the Bible says. Romans chapter 8, verse 34, talks about somebody that is constantly standing in the gap for us. Romans 8, 34 says, Who is the one that condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes. Rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. I should have just written these things out. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. I'll get it. Says, I was hoping that she had it up there earlier. Therefore, he is able, this is Jesus, to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Constantly. He's interceding on our behalf. In fact, they're all to have incense before the Lord. Speaks of Jesus and his constant intercession on behalf of us. In fact, our prayers, as we offer them up to the Lord, are only made pleasing because of Jesus and his sacrifice and his intercession. In fact, do you remember in Romans chapter 8, it talks about, and the Spirit helps us to pray? Remember that? In fact, it says, and in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, where we don't know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Our prayers aren't even worthy to come up before God. God cannot really accept them as they are. Do you understand? But Jesus has made them worthy. And through his Spirit, they are made so that God can understand. That altar of incense speaks of Christ and his intercession constantly. And when the priest went into the, in Leviticus, when he goes into the Holy of Holies, it says that he had to put that incense on that censer, on the fire that was from before the, from that altar of incense, as he went in there, and the cloud would cover the mercy seat, lest he die, it says. So that Aaron wouldn't die as he came in with his impure state. Because he had to have intercession on his behalf. The intercession of Christ. That's what this altar speaks of. And the incense. So it's this being made perfect, being made acceptable to God because of Christ. Let's get back to the strange fire. What were these two doing? What were they doing? I was reading up on this and some of these scholars, what they thought about, you know, why did God kill these two? And they made mention, maybe, you know, maybe it was because they were drunk. Because it talks about in Leviticus chapter 10, a little bit later, it says, in verse 9, it says, do not drink wine or strong drink, neither you or your sons, when you come near into the tent. That didn't fit with what the, you know, passage says. And in another place, in Leviticus chapter 16, it says, when you're not to come into the holy place all the time. You know, soon after these two were killed, God spoke to to Moses to speak to Aaron, not to come into the Holy of Holies all the time. So maybe they tried to approach into the where they weren't supposed to come, you know. But I think the text itself speaks about what happened. And fire came out, they placed incense, in verse 1 it says, they placed incense on it and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded. There's two things I believe that they did wrong. One of the things is they did what they were not commanded to do. Secondly, I don't believe they got the fire from off the altar of incense. They got the fire from somewhere else because they offered strange fire. It was not the fire that was supposed to be being offered up. There's two things that they did wrong. They did not do according to the commandment, and they offered something strange. It was not the fire of God. Two things. The offering must be offered with God's fire. The purifying fire that consumes all impurities. Only prayers, praise, worship offered from the genuine faith based on the sacrifice of Christ will be accepted. It's gotta be a vessel that has been purified as a fire. And we've been made pure not because of ourselves, but because of Christ's offering, the offering of Christ. Amen. And our faith, it talks about our faith being purified through fire, and it's prayer offered up out of faith. It's worship offered up out of faith. It's our offering of ourselves out of faith. And that's what God accepts. He's not going to accept any other kind of offering from us. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And then the second thing, it has to be initiated by God. Okay, Romans chapter 11, verse 36 says that to him, through him, from him, through him, and to him are all things. To God be the praise and glory forever and ever. Comes from everything needs to come from him. It needs to be through his power, through his direction, and ultimately the glory needs to return to him. Amen. These two boogers, I think they did something wrong. First of all, they did something not initiated by God, right? God did not tell them to put fire on these incense burners. They did not tell them to go. He did not tell them to do that. They did according to their own ambitions, their own will, their own desires. They were doing things their own way. That's the sinner's song, I think, is, you know, what Elvis made famous. I did it my way, you know. That's the sinner's song. Amen? You can't do things your way. It's God's way or no way. Amen? These two guys, they did it their way. When they wanted to, how they wanted to. And God said, no, that's not how it's going to be. We're not going to let that happen. And, of course, they used the wrong fire, doing it their own way. I want to look at two stories in the Bible that I believe are an offering of strange fire. The first one is in 1 Samuel, chapter 15. There was a new king in Israel. It was probably the first 3 or 4 years that he's been king in Israel. He's a tall, in fact, Nathan spoke of him, I think. Tall guy, you know, handsome. Well, there was a taller guy that got him. But anyway, Nathan spoke of him. But this guy Saul, Samuel the prophet comes and says, look, tell Saul, I'm just going to kind of speak it through, but it's here in Samuel chapter 15. He says, tell Saul to go and destroy the Amalekites, because I remember what they did to you guys when you were coming out of Egypt. Everybody has to be destroyed. Do not save anything, not even their cows, not even their goats. Don't save anything. Everything that has breath, kill it. Destroy them. I want them utterly wiped off the face of this earth. Saul said, okay, I'll go do it. He goes and they attack, and they come back, and they brought the king back. And then they brought back all these bulls and cows and all that, and Samuel goes, what is all this?
I thought I told you you're supposed to destroy it all. He says, I did. I obeyed the Lord fully. I destroyed it all. And we just brought these back to offer up to the Lord, the best of all that they had. And look at verse 22. After he said all these things, Samuel says, do you think, has God as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination is the iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. He is offering up his own fire, so to speak, his own offering. He was doing it his way, not God's way. Obedience, obedience, obedience is very important. He wanted to do it his way. God said, no, this is the way I want you to do it. And then the last story is in Acts chapter 5. It's the story of Ananias and Sapphira. I think you guys probably know that story. But these two people are in the early church. And there's all these people selling their lands and offering their lands, offering the money to the church, you know, just bringing it and laying it at the apostles' feet. And they would share the money distributed to as people had need and all that. So Ananias and Sapphira say, okay, well, we'll sell the portion of land that we have. That's in chapter 5, verse 1 on down. I'm just going to tell the story. And they sell the land. They keep part of the money, and they give the rest to the church. There's nothing wrong with that, is there? You sell a piece of property and you give part of it, that's all right, isn't it? But they decided to say that that's how much they sold the land for, and that they were offering all of it to the Lord. They lied. Why did they lie? Because they wanted the glory. They were trying to get glory to themselves. These two sons of Aaron, being it themselves, were probably starting to, you know, feel the importance of themselves. And they wanted all the people's attention. Look, we're important here. We're doing some important things. Ananias and Sapphira fell into that same trap. What happened to them? Well, they both got killed. God destroyed both of them. Ananias came in. Peter says, why did you lie? Why didn't you lie? Well, God's not going to put up with this thing, and God strikes him dead, and they go and bury him. And then Sapphira comes in, and he says, did you sell the land for so-and-so? I said, yeah, we sold the land for so-and-so. He says, why have you conspired to lie against the Holy Spirit? What's wrong with you guys? The feet of those that carried out your husband are here to carry you out now. Both of them were killed, and the church kind of like, whoa, got to be careful here. We can't offer up strange fire before the Lord. We need to be obedient to God, and it needs to be for His glory. If God has given you something to do, that's the way you do it. If He says not to do something, and you do it anyway, as an offering to the Lord, it's not acceptable to God. You know? There are some people, maybe who are singers, excuse me, in the world, they come in and they say, well, I can use my singing gifts for the Lord. Maybe they're not ready yet. And they start offering up their singing gifts to the Lord, or they're good speakers, and they start offering their speaking to the Lord. But God has not called them. God's not going to accept their offering. There's a place of obedience and submission, and it has to be out of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's an obedience to God. Right? By faith. Obedience. These two guys did it their own way for their own glory. And God consumed them. We are to do things God's way for His glory. Initiated by Him and in praise to Him and through Him. Amen? That's the fire that God wants. I believe, you know, when we do things outside of God, but say we're doing it to God, we're offering up strange fire, just like these two stories. That's strange fire. That was not out of God. That was not out of purity. That was not out of the devotion that comes in praise to God and humility. No. That's not what God wants. Amen.